You're on board KCAA's Inland Talk Express. KCAA, Loma Linda, 1050 AM, the station that leaves no listener behind.
No sooner done than said on AM 1050 KCAA.
Welcome to Smart Health Talk with your host, Elaine McFadden.
Take a walk on the wild side. Will the birds and the bees survive? Right before me, my newfound hippie side. Once ignore these conspiracies online. At the window, visions of the earth. Sign me up now, make sure you use your smart. Take a walk on the wild side. Will the birds and the bees survive? Would your children lie? Mother Nature's sign.
Welcome to Smart Health Talk with your host, Elaine McFadden.
Welcome to Smart Health Talk. I'm Elaine McFadden. Well, unfortunately, our food is not what it was 20 years ago, and that's no joke. Ever since we have learned to splice DNA and mix things up with things that would never get together in real life, big corporations have been working on ways to make money off of it and use genetic engineering as a way to steal DNA from plants and animals, patent it, claim ownership, and start charging us money for something that used to be free to everyone. India just pressed biopiracy charges against Monsanto for coming to their country, extracting the DNA of their most prized food that feeds most of the population, patented it, and planned to sell it with no compensation going to the country it came from or its people. And that was after farmers worked for hundreds of years selectively breeding those crops to come up with the best and strongest. Monsanto broke Indian law, and they are not going to let it pass. They are going after Monsanto, and the American people should be as well. Since we have been used as guinea pigs to test out their genetically modified organisms without long-term safety studies before introducing them to people, they rake in huge profits, and our health and environment suffers. We now have frankenfoods that where things like fish DNA and human DNA have been spliced into plants and animals that used to be food, and is now genetically modified food invented by Monsanto instead of the old-fashioned way through Mother Nature and selective breeding. Some crops, such as corn, soy, and canola oil, are as high as 95% GMO, and if Monsanto has their way, all crops will come from GMO seed. They could care less that they are contaminating organic fields and the entire environment, for that matter. As a matter of fact, they go after farmers for patent infringement with as little as one plant in their field, which was probably not even put there by them in the first place, but by seeds flying off a truck or through the air. Farmers have to pay a fine and destroy all their seed. For some, that seed has been saved from year after year for generations. Without government regulation enforcement and support from lawmakers, Monsanto has been able to grow GMO research plants in the open and feed them to entire populations in the name of hunger prevention. They want us to think that without Monsanto, we'll all starve. But will we? Well, according to the Rodale Research Center, which has been conducting growing experiments for years using several growing methods on identical plots and weather conditions that were all started at the same time, in other words, well-designed studies that most in the past have not been well-designed at all, their results found that conventional GMO pesticide chemical fertilizer farming did not produce higher yields at all. Organic had comparable yields and even did better during conditions such as drought, probably because organic soil acts like a sponge to hold water in place to give the plant time to absorb it, where conventional soil is so weak from lack of organic matter that water just drains right through it so the plant doesn't even get enough water, and that precious water is wasted. No harmful chemicals, GMOs, herbicides, or chemical fertilizers were used on the organic plots, but are required for conventional farming and GMO seeds. They were supposed to reduce pesticide use with GMOs, but they've actually increased it because farmers can spray all the Roundup Ready pesticide they want, and they don't have to worry about killing their crops. The side effect is super weeds that will not die no matter what pesticide you spray on them. They're popping up everywhere right now. This is becoming a huge problem. GMOs contain living organisms, and they've been found active in human gut bacteria. These organisms are genetically programmed to manufacture pesticides, and apparently they're able to turn our gut bacteria into hosts and do their bidding. There is a long list of health problems linked to GMOs, including infertility and allergic reactions. There is a long list of health risks. Associated with GMOs can be found on the Institute of Responsible Technology website, and I really encourage you to go there and read it, and we're going to have that link on our website. But the pollen from these plants becomes airborne, and it's contaminating other crops and native plants. Think about the potential for contamination if you were on an island. Well, that is what Hawaii is having to deal with right now. Monsanto has been conducting research in the open air and has planted GMO crops that are contaminating non-GMO crops. Monsanto has such a strong foothold in Hawaii now, it's going to take a miracle to get them to stop and leave. Is it impossible, or can we take ownership of our food back? Elle Cochran, who's a council member from Maui, Hawaii, is willing to take on that task and has set out to move forward and try to at least get mandatory GMO labeling of all products sold in Hawaii, and in the process raise awareness on what is happening with GMOs going in our bodies. Elle, aloha. I would like to welcome you to Smart Health Talk.
Hi. Thank you. Ellie.
Ellie, okay. Yeah. I'm sorry.
Well, no, it's spelled like Elle, but yeah, well, thanks for having me.
Okay, Ellie. Well, thanks for coming on, and what's it like in Hawaii right now?
I don't want to make you jealous, but it is sunny, blue skies, and...
Beautiful, right?
Yeah, this is our dreaded winter weather.
Oh, yeah. Well, yes, I am jealous, and I do wish I was there right now.
One day, come visit.
Yes, I will, very soon. So I want our listeners to hear the story of GMOs in Hawaii, and I was wondering if you could start by filling us in on, like, how GMOs started in Hawaii by taking us through Monsanto's first big GMO project in Hawaii, which was taking the DNA from some of your most important plants to Hawaiians, which is the taro plant. So what happened during the time, and what did Hawaiians learn from that experience?
Well, actually, you know, I don't know the exact beginnings. We had just, myself and my two staff members had done a tour of Monsanto, which is here in South Maui, Kihei.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I had no idea that they've been here in Hawaii, has had a presence since 1968.
Oh, really?
And so it goes way back.
Yeah.
And as for the kalo, the taro plant, which is, yes, extremely sacred to Hawaiians and our culture, you know, we, Maui County, which is very progressive, I feel more so than other counties, has banned GMO kalo from being propagated here on this island or in this county. Oahu, that's a different story. And I'm not from that island, and I know that the university has, you know, delved into it and works with GMO and all this stuff, but that cannot happen on this in this county. So my stand is, you know, that's why I'm not firsthand familiar with what has come about with the taro plant, because it's never been allowed here, and we aim to keep it that way.
But that was, I did read some, I found some old documents, and it was from probably about 5 years ago, maybe like 4 to 5 years ago, about the taro and how people were having to stand up and fight at that point to keep the GMO taro away from, you know, their island, and their people. They didn't want it. And it's just, and they were saying it's like crazy. It's like, we don't, you know, first of all, they were trying to say that they were genetically modifying it because of the some sort of fungus.
Apple snails and yeah, the rot, I guess, that occurred.
Yeah, but what they were saying was that those are caused from not using good practices and bad water and stuff like that. It's something totally that, you know, reversible by just using good farming practices. And
cold,
we
clean, clear water is what taro thrives in. So if the watershed's being affected and the source itself that feeds your, you know, that creates a healthy plant is affected, then obviously, you know, you're not going to have healthy plants because the water source that it lives on is thereby polluted or not as, you know, clean, clear, and cold as that plant needs.
Exactly. So, you know,
to modify the plant and not look to the source of what's creating the disease, fungus, or whatever is kind of crazy to me.
Yeah. That's. I'm so glad that you said that because that's kind of like what I was thinking too.
Right.
So before we – I want to get we have a couple minutes here, and then we have to cut to break, and we're going to come back, and I want to use that time for you to kind of go through what it was like because you went and visited the Monsanto plant, correct?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So I want us to take the next segment to, for you to kind of take us through what that was like. But first of all, I was wondering what the minute or so we have left here, could you just kind of paint a picture in our mind? Like when you see Monsanto in Hawaii, what do you see?
Actually, you know, in the public eye, they look like a wonderful company. They provide a lot of jobs. They pay really good wages. They donate to good causes, to schools and scholarships, and you know, they give to actually the county in building infrastructure for reuse water lines and things of that nature. So, of course, they have a benefit, tax write-offs. They're using reuse, reclaimed water for their crops and what have you. But you know what I mean? It shows, wow, look at all the good things we do. And then on the other hand, when you look into who are they exactly, what are they creating, and what do they do, then that's where you have the controversy and questions that pop up. But as a whole, I think the general public and the people's eyes in Hawaii, they've done some wonderful things for the state and communities.
Well, you know, they're making a lot of money, so.
Right.
You know, and I was just, like, looking at some of the things like Coke and all those. You know, if I had a lot of money, guess what? I would be a philanthropist, too. I would love to do that stuff.
Right.
So, you know, we have to decide if we're okay with giving money to these corporations for, you know, the product that they're making and the side effects that we get from that product and end up having to pay another way. So when we're looking at the true cost of food and environmental cleanup and health problems that we have to pay for and all of these things, you know, we have to really look at the big picture when we're evaluating the benefit. So, okay,
right.
Well, we're gonna go ahead and break right now, and then we're going to come back, everyone, and Elle's going to tell us about her big tour of the Monsanto plant and what that was like, so stay tuned.
And now a word from our Smart Health Talk sponsors.
Naya, Naya, Naya Recycle. Naya, Naya, Naya Recycle.
Naya, Canada's most environmentally conscious bottled water, is very proud to announce that its already recyclable bottles are now made from 100% recycled plastic. Naya is the first bottled spring water in the world to do that. So in addition to its recycling activities, Naya uses no new plastic to make its water bottles.
Naya, Naya, Naya.
A natural source of progress.
Be sure to visit our website at smarthealthtalk.com. Welcome back to Smart Health Talk with your host, Elaine McFadden.
Welcome back. I'm Elaine McFadden, and we're here with Ellie Cochran, who is here from Maui, and explaining. She's going to tell us what it was like to go and tour a Monsanto research facility there in Hawaii. So first of all, like, how did you even come to get invited to come and tour that the facility?
Actually, yeah, they didn't, you know, reach out to me. My office reached out to them and asked if it was okay to come and, you know, just tour. And
mm-hmm.
they were open and said, sure, let's set a date. And we did. Myself and another fellow council member of South Maui, Don Couch, attended also with his staff. And a staff member of Mike White's office, another council member here, attended too. So there's like three different council member offices represented there.
Oh, that was good.
Yeah, yeah. So that was great. And basically, you know, we went in and we went to the boardroom where they gave us a PowerPoint presentation, just real generally of, you know, who they are and what they do and sort of a breakdown of the different companies that they're affiliated with that carry, you know, their Monsanto brand and things. So it wasn't very detailed, but it probably left you with more questions than, you know, answers, really.
Uh-huh.
But it was a free-for-all opening question session, so they were all okay. And I asked, the question about India and the suicides of farmers. I asked about the lawsuits that occur. Is that true? I asked if they had saw the movie Food Inc. and movies of that nature. And they, you know, and after all these questions I threw at them, there's about five representatives there of Monsanto, and they sort of, it was dead silence. They're all looking at each other like, who's going to answer this? And so that was kind of awkward at those moments, but they did. They had an answer for everything, of course. And it was, I just feel like they technically, you know, they
really
treated me.
What did they have to say for themselves? For
I asked about the, you know, I said, have you folks seen that movie Food Inc.? They're like, yeah. I go, okay, any comment about that? I go, because just, that was my first impression. That was my first sort of awareness of who Monsanto is and, you know, what do they do and how big are they. And they said, one of their reps said, well, Food Inc. portrayed us 70% correct and 30% incorrect, and that 30% was grossly inaccurate, was their comment. And they didn't elaborate on what that 30% was.
Okay.
So that's what they said about Food Inc. and other show Thrive, and I don't know some other names of videos that are out. And then when I said, well, what about the farmers in India? And they said, you're talking about the suicides? And I went, well, yeah. And I go, any comments on that? And bottom line, their answer was, they had like this kind of sad look on their faces too when that was brought up. But the one guy goes, if you look at the numbers, Ellie, before introduction of GMO crops in India, yes, there've been suicides. And after the introduction, there continues to be suicides, but not as much. And they go, we understand, I know it sounds really cold on our behalf, but we're, you know, when you look at the numbers, the suicide rates have dropped. There's still suicides, but they've dropped since we've been there. So that was their answer to that. And then in regards to lawsuits, and I guess I forget the name of the gentleman, the Canada, you know, the Canada lawsuit. They said, well, according to him, the seeds fell off a truck or something and flew by and you know, contaminated his fields, and so now, you know, he's suing us. And they said that's impossible, that something like that can never happen. They went through his fields, and they are perfectly planted in a row, and it couldn't ever happen just, you know, sporadically. It had to have been manually done, and they feel like he purposely did this to create this lawsuit, I guess, and that he has no standing on his claim, basically. And then when I asked about people who are caught with their product in their fields, they said, well, no, those lawsuits are actually, they're not infringement-type lawsuits. They call it brown bagging. Those are the farmers who, yes, bought their seeds, yes, are cultivating it and signed a contract that they could never, you know, sell their seeds and all that. So they are calling, you know, they're putting calling lawsuits on those people, and they call it brown bagging, and that's how they're justifying those lawsuits, and that any monies that they win off these lawsuits go directly to educational scholarships for the kids, So that's, they had to throw that in to explain that, those lawsuits. So those are kind of the top, you know, burning desire questions that I had for them, and they obviously, like I said, had answers for everything.
Well, no, that's I really appreciate you sharing all that information with us, because now I'm gonna like start checking up on everything.
Word for word, what they said, you know, and basically after we kind of went through that, and I completely, you know, the living organism stuff didn't cross my mind, but you know. When we left, they gave us cards and they said, "Hey, we're open. If you come up with questions or things you need to discuss, by all means, we're here and you know, let us know." So we have an open open door kind of, I believe, a little rapport going on. And again, you know, they always have their answers. But I just wanted to say that these guys seem like very, you know, nice guys and all that. And they really truly believe in what they do. You can tell when they speak to you. You can tell when they, you know, I mean, you can see it in their eyes and feel it in their tone of voice that they truly, truly, honestly believe in what Monsanto is and that they are the future and stuff like that. So
I understand strange. What you're saying. I've seen that before.
Yeah, and they just are really genuine when they say these things, and you're like, all right, but. Anyway, so we left the office and we went down into the fields, and this is where it's the test bed, right? It's the crossbreeding and hybridization of all the different, you know, male and females going on here with the seed corn. And there's a gentleman, he showed us how he tests each plant individually in like a little pregnancy test strip thingy, and to see if it's positive for that strain or not, and that's what these guys do. They go through the field, and everyone's labeled with barcodes, and it's just really science fiction-y, you know. And they even said, what we do, it just really sounds science fiction. We understand that, but it really, you know. And so my next trip will be in West Mai, where I actually live, and they have the final product, seed corn there, the, you know, the best strain of the best. That they farm there where I live. And so I'm going to go see the tour, and they were so excited that I want to go and see these because it's like the cream of the crop, right? It's like the best king of the crop, and this is the dream that every farmer wants to see when they look down these rows of corn, is that they're just identical, same height, same, you know, same leaves, same whatever. I mean, there's no variation. Every plant is the exact duplication of the next. And they go, and that's what farmers want to see. And I'm thinking, really? When I see Mother Nature, I mean, that's the beauty of it being different and unique from leaf to plant to plant. But that's not their idea of perfection, you know.
Well, I hope that you'll come back and share with us what it was like at your other... Your next
yeah,
trip.
I'd love to. Oh, and I also want to notate that the idea about, this is their comments, the idea about pollen contaminating other plants and what have you, their pollen, they've tested this, can only fly through the air, wind, whatever it is, 660 feet, to be exact. That's as far as it can go, so they separate their plants from each other, and they feel like they're far enough from, you know, neighbors and what have you, that it cannot go any further than that. The pollen's too heavy. It just doesn't. They tested it by white corn and purple corn, and, you know, they measured so many feet out, and the corns that were contaminated with purple were obviously, you know, notated so they could see exactly where that purple pollen had flown, how far it had flown and contaminated. So they seem to have narrowed that down to a science of 660 feet that their pollen can fly. And the other interesting fact, why they chose Hawaii as their test bed for corn is because we have no corn here, right? We species don't intermix. So the corn will not contaminate the kalo, the taro. The corn won't contaminate, you know, our native plants. And we don't have a native corn here. So that's why they chose to do seed corn in Hawaii, which I'm like, oh, okay.
Well, I'm definitely going to have a good time, like, going back and going over all of the information that you provided us with. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'm going to try to get guests mm-hmm. to come on and respond mm-hmm. To some of those, the information that they gave you and mm-hmm. see what other people have to say in response to those answers.
Yeah.
And kind of dissect it a little bit, because I'm sure they're very good at giving, you know, these answers that they've kind of packaged up for everyone.
Yeah, they definitely pick and choose their words, you know, strategically. And that's what I mean about they have an answer for everything.
Well, we have to go to a break, but I was wondering if you could stay on the line. I want to make sure that, you know, if we have some more time to talk. I'm waiting for another caller, but in case they were hung up, I still have a lot more questions I wanted to ask you. So
no problem. I have time.
Okay, all right. Well, just hold on, and we're going to cut to break, and then we're going to come back with Ellie. So stay
all
tuned.
Right, great, thank you.
And now a word from our Smart Health Talk sponsors.
A precious deposit that came from the mightiest of mountains, created from the strongest forces of nature, and lie hidden for 15 million years beneath the surface of a remote desert, has now been found. A mineral deposit like no other, nature in its most perfect form. Minerals are one of the key foundations of life and may not always be complete in food, but you can now have all that nature has to offer in one pure source. Ion Charge Minerals bring you 57 ionic minerals to nourish your body with the raw materials it needs to rebuild, revitalize, and help generate energy within every cell. Experience mineral power and the new energy and endurance that is yours when you give your body what it needs to build a stronger you. Visit ionchargeminerals.com or go to Smart Health Talk website and find out how you can benefit from the power of minerals today.
AM 1050 KCAA is proud to announce an important new streaming service for all internet listeners who use iPhones, Androids, and BlackBerry devices. Mobile internet listeners may now go to www.kcaaexpress.com and listen live. Again, AM 1050 KCAA has set up a second website especially for mobile internet listeners. The URL is www.kcaaexpress.com.
Be sure to visit our website at smarthealthtalk.com. Welcome back to Smart Health Talk with your host, Elaine McFadden.
Welcome back. You're listening to Smart Health Talk, and we're here with Ellie Cochran from Hawaii. She's a council member there in Maui, which is different than Hawaii, because I did go to Hawaii, which is the Big Island.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been trying to learn a little bit more about Hawaii, until a couple of years ago I didn't even have a clue. And it's just such an incredible place to go. Unfortunately, after you've been there for a couple of weeks or so and you come home, you're like culture shock. It takes you a while to get back into real life 101.
Yeah, we are very, very diverse, that's for sure.
Well, it's just it changes you. You turn into this relaxed person that is a little bit different than the person you were when you left by the time you come back.
That's the idea.
Yeah.
For vacationing and unwind.
Hawaii is, like, so good for that.
But, again, too, I think people take advantage of that sort of laid-back attitude that we might have here.
Uh-huh. That's true. That's a really good – that's actually a good point.
Right.
I really like that point, and because I feel like, you know, it's almost kind of like we're all like that, really, in a way,
mm-hmm.
because all of this stuff has been going on with most people don't even have a clue.
Right.
Of what's been happening, that our food has been going through all of these changes behind our back
mm-hmm.
with no common knowledge. And I, you know, it's so funny that you would talk about how everything was like completely perfect and it's all the same shape, because mm-hmm. when I first started selling produce, back it was probably about the early 80s or so,
mm-hmm.
I remember getting these tomatoes that every single tomato looked exactly the same, and it was just so weird.
Yeah.
And my grandmother's tomatoes, not one looked the same. So I knew at that point something weird was going on. And that's when I started really reading and researching myself to find out what was going on with our food. So I've been been researching ever since.
Yeah, well, good for you.
Well, was there anything else that you can think of that from the tour that you wanted to share with us? And then I also wanted to get into a little bit about what you've been doing as far as trying to get the mandatory GMO labeling passed in Hawaii. And there's, you know, it's a difficult job because there's you have to get everyone together on to pass it for it to even happen, and it's hard to do that. So why don't you, first of all, if there was anything else you wanted to add about the tour, and then if you wouldn't mind sharing with us, you know, what your whole experience has been like trying to get the mandatory labeling passed.
Yeah, so here on Maui, Monsanto basically, you know, it's research, you know, so here they try and produce about 110 to 125 new products per year out of all these different combinations of 50,000 plants or something. And so they're just developing the parents, the mom and dads, the male and females here, and trying to, you know, crossbreed those to create that super, you know, the super crop or what have you. And so that was quite interesting. I, you know, didn't really know. And so it's all about research here in Hawaii. Nothing's really grown for consumption for, you know, people or anything. And they, you know, they, and I guess their product development cost them about $100 million per year, which it's like, wow.
Well, they pay it.
Sorry,
pay
on an average of 8 to 10 years, it costs them $100 million for product development, this type of work that they do around here. And that's like...
Well, they pay everyone a big salary.
No, they pay quite a nice... And we have a huge deer problem here, and they can afford... They had put up a 10-foot chain-link fence around their entire 200 acres of land to protect... You know,
wow.
The deer have been wiping out our little farmers and people, and not everyone can afford. You know, fencing is very expensive, and but
especially
they,
in Hawaii.
Oh yeah, and so I was quite impressed with that fence because I know how everyone in our watershed. It's a fence, but still, I know the cost, and you know, poor the island of Lanai's watershed is being trampled over, and they need fencing. You know, to keep out all the ungulates there. So it's a big thing, and these guys can just, whoa, which is nice for them, I suppose, but I wish we could, you know, do it elsewhere.
Well, it kind of gives you an idea how much money they really make.
Yeah.
And you think about it, especially when I was starting to read about the biopiracy charges that India is putting against Monsanto, and the fact that, you know, it took their farmers, you know, years and years to develop that. And Monsanto just comes in and just steals the DNA and just starts making everyone buy what they got for free before. It's just, you know,
yeah.
It's like, yeah, of course they're going to make money off all those, you know, hundreds of years of research of developing really good plants, you know, and then they come in and just take it.
Yeah. Well, and then I had wished I saw my friend before, because that night after this tour, I went to my friend's home, and she had just gotten back from Ethiopia, and she said, oh, I was, you know, in Ethiopia, Monsanto has come in and gotten a hold of the government, and the government has taken away all the little villagers, the indigenous people's lands, to monocrop their stuff. And it's like, wow, that story is so similar to Hawaii, where our, as the Hawaiian people, lands have been taken, privatized, taken over, and sugar or pineapple has been grown on it, you know, and the water has been taken, and so it's so similar. And she said, but, you know, Monsanto came in, and the government's convinced that this is the savior for their people, for food and everything. And I was like, oh, my God. She goes, yeah, I just got back from Ethiopia and saw it.
Just how can it be sustainable when you need all of these pesticides and that, when these people can barely afford seed, let alone all the other, and then they can't eat, they have terminator genes in the seed, so you can't.
Oh, they lay that out right off the bat. Oh, about before anybody mentions it, let us just say there is no such thing, the terminator genes. There is no such thing. So that was like one of the first things they wanted to just get off their chest and out in the open and clear.
So you could save their seed and replant it the next year.
According to them, but you sign a contract that you're not going to do that. That's where that litigation about the brown baggers. And so that's their, I get, they make people sign contracts that you don't do that. You cannot, they said the seeds are capable, but you sign a contract that you're not doing that. You can't brown bag, according to them. That's what they're saying with that sort of issue.
Okay. Yeah, well, it's good to hear what they have to say. So.
Yeah, I know. No, that's what.
Yeah, we want to know what their side of it
yeah,
is.
Yeah, no, that's their explanation of that.
That's why what you're doing is really valuable. It reminds me of when I went into schools and no one even realized that the soda companies had infiltrated all these campuses with 100 vending machines on one high school campus and. You know, we didn't even know what an exclusive right contract was. And we got our hands on one, and we thought it was like a Pentagon document. Because you really don't understand how these people work.
Yeah.
And it's kind of, you know, it's hard to fight against it when you don't understand how they think and how they work.
No, of course. So, yeah, by all means, I will definitely keep you in the loop. Oh, and then we didn't go there with the whole labeling, but we didn't ask them point blank because they have come to the council and they've gone to the state level and testified, and you know, you hear, and their bottom line is it costs too much, and then we're going to have to you know, relay the cost down to the consumers, and oh, we don't want to charge more for. Does anybody want to pay more for food? We don't want you to pay more for food.
How is like a little bit of ink on a label?
No, I know, three letters GMO. I don't know, and so that, but that's their big fight with that one, right?
And I know,
so
and that's just
on my
such
level, I put in, you know, a bill to urge and support labeling of GMO products for the, you know, freedom of choice for consumers, and it went to the state package, which are all our counties, and Oahu did not support it. Island of Oahu.
Well, I want to, we're going to have to cut to one more break here, and then we're going to come back. And then I was wondering if you could just, maybe you can like take us through, you know, the process that you've been going through as far as the GMO labeling goes and what it was like, you know, going to Oahu and the vote and all that. Mm-hmm. So we're going to break for a couple of minutes and then come back, and we're going to continue with Elle. So thank you so much. Ellie, excuse me.
Okay.
And now a word from our Smart Health Talk sponsors.
A precious deposit that came from the mightiest of mountains, created from the strongest forces of nature, and lie hidden for 15 million years beneath the surface of a remote desert, has now been found. A mineral deposit like no other. Nature in its most perfect form. Minerals are one of the key foundations of life and may not always be complete in food, but you can now have all that nature has to offer in one pure source. Ion Charge Minerals bring you 57 ionic minerals to nourish your body with the raw materials it needs to rebuild, revitalize, and help generate energy within every cell. Experience mineral power and the new energy and endurance that is yours when you give your body what it needs to build a stronger you. Visit IonChargeMinerals.com or go to Smart Health Talk website and find out how you can benefit from the power of minerals today.
Naya, Naya, Naya Recycle. Naya, Naya, Naya Recycle.
Canada's most environmentally conscious bottled water is very proud to announce that its already recyclable bottles are now made from 100% recycled plastic. Naya is the first bottled spring water in the world to do that. So in addition to its recycling activities, Naya uses no new plastic to make its water bottles.
Naya, Naya, Naya.
A natural source of progress.
Be sure to visit our website at smarthealthtalk.com. Welcome back to Smart Health Talk with your host, Elaine McFadden.
Welcome back. We're here with Ellie Cochran from Maui, Hawaii, and she's telling us about what it's like to get go and visit a Monsanto plant and also try to get mandatory GMO labeling pass for a whole state. Can you, you guys can actually, by island, you could, like you said, there's some islands that will allow GMO taro and and others that won't. And I just wanted to mention really quick that I don't know if people realize that there's like over 40 countries that don't even want to buy GMO products. And what happens to our farmers here is that when they have, they're contaminated, their crop is contaminated with other GMOs, or, you know, if they use GMOs, they can't sell to these other countries because they don't want them. And so, especially if they're contaminated, that's really sad for the farmer because they could have made more money, but because they're contaminated, they can't sell abroad and make that extra money. So that's kind of sad. And when I was over there in Hawaii, I wanted to ask you because I was told that they had planted a bunch of genetically modified papaya trees there, and I guess the locals didn't want them and would come and actually chop them down in the middle of the night.
Yeah, that was in big headline news over on Oahu and Hawaii Island that has occurred. But it's funny, in the paper it didn't mention the type of papayas they were.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
like the people are just doing it because they just got crazy or something, right?
Yeah, but perhaps there was a reason why these particular trees were chopped down. So, you know, again, Maui has been progressive, and we really stood our ground about GMO kalo, taro, and we have banned that here. And so I personally am trying to, you know, with my supporters to do, you know, labeling statewide. I mean, and it's been a tough battle. Every year I'm told this particular topic comes up to the state legislatures and it gets completely shut down every year. But, you know, we're not one to give up, so we'll try it again. And basically, I introduced legislation through Maui County. It was voted through unanimously, very supported for labeling. And we put it into this package, a county, Hawaii State Association of Counties package, HSAC. And all counties had to have accepted and agreed to all the wording in this legislation for it to move forward to the state level. And the county of Oahu did not agree. So it failed on that level through HSAC and the package. But I am personally taking the legislation by hand to Oahu and going door to door to the key members of our state legislators to see who can hopefully back me and push this forward, you know, under their sponsorship, I guess.
Well, you're awesome, Ellie. You're awesome.
That's hard.
That's hard stuff. That's hard going up against any of those people. You said, they're very embedded in the communities, and I'm sure with the university.
Mm-hmm. Oh, big time, yes. Especially there. But people have their doubts, too. I mean, hey, we all love education and, you know, our future and our children. But sometimes you got to take a hard look at who's supporting who, right? Who's in bed with who? And at times you'll find out it's not so savory. But it's something I'm going to do, and I'm looking forward to see how far I can get, or who are the supporters out there? I don't really know. You know, as our head of agriculture, what side are they on? I don't even know. So I'm going to go and learn and bring awareness to those who don't know, and I'm going to find out who really are on point and want to move something like this forward.
Well, and we need to learn from each other because, you know, there's efforts in California to get the mandatory GMO labeling passed, and you're making efforts over there. And if one state can get it passed, it will make it a lot easier for more states to follow, just like with smoking on airplanes.
Right.
It started in California, and it went national.
Yeah,
so we could potentially make that happen.
Right. I mean, people thought here, being, you know, we're a resort and we have lots of restaurants, and oh my God, banning smoking in restaurants and bars, that's crazy. That's suicide. Nobody's going to want to go to a bar and eat where they can't smoke. But guess what? It turned out to be great.
And it wasn't doom and gloom like they thought, huh?
Yeah. So it's, you know, similar, but bigger.
Well, it's one step at a time, and we need to educate the public so that they get on board and understand what's happening here so they can make good decisions for their own families, whether they want to eat these foods or not, and, you know, find out, like you said, more from, you know, what they're thinking and their practices. And I just want to thank you so much for all your efforts, Ellie.
Oh,
and
you too. Yeah, you know.
No, you're doing really great things. You're making things happen that need to happen, and it's not an easy job, and it's hard going up against some of these really strong people.
Yeah.
And big money. And so I just want to thank you for being so strong and such a great leader, and I hope you'll come back and give us some more reports on what you're learning and through this process so we can share it with other people around the world and around the country, and we'll learn from each other and just try. Yeah. We're just trying to make our food system safe and healthy, and because we know that affects our health, our overall health, and our quality of life. So,
Well, thank you too for what you do, and happy holidays to you. And
happy holidays, and mahalo.
All righty. Well, take care, and let's stay in touch.
Okay, thank you so much, Ellie.
All righty.
Bye bye.
Bye bye.
Everyone come and please visit our website. We've got all kinds of new things on there. And come and join us next week. We're going to have some other great guests. So please support our website and our sponsors. And thank you so much for tuning in today.
Be sure to visit our website at smarthealthtalk.com. Hi, my name is Don Sazi. If you enjoy the Smart Health Talk theme music, visit my website, www.donsazi.com, to hear the complete song as well as other great music.
You're on board KCAA's Inland Talk Express. KCAA, Loma Linda, 1050 AM, the station that leaves no listener behind.
Take a walk on the wild side. Will the birds and the bees survive? Right before me, my newfound hippie side. Once ignored these conspiracies online. Out the window, visions of the earth. Sign me up now, make sure you use your smart. Take a walk on the wild side. Will the birds and the bees survive? Would your children lie to see Mother Nature's sign?